Morning, everybody. So I figured I would talk about today how early may one read the Megillah. There are three potential interpretations for this. The truth is I gave this shiur once before to an entirely different group, I would assume, or something close to this shiur before. Ours, I think, will be significantly shorter. Not actually, a little bit shorter. Regardless, there are three possibilities as to what that might mean. Some people take it to mean how early, meaning can you read the Megillah before Purim? Before the 14th of Adar in unwalled cities, or the 15th of Adar in walled cities? One question you could read that as. Number two, how early can you read the Megillah on the night of Purim? Can you begin, let's say, right at Shkia? Can you begin at Seis? Can you potentially begin earlier? And thirdly, on the day of Purim itself, how early can you read the Megillah? The only one I don't address here is the day of Purim. The day of Purim is, it seems that lechatchila, somebody should be reading it only after sunrise. However, under various circumstances, permitted even from Alos HaShachar. You can see the Mishnah Berurah on that. Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah, it's pretty straightforward. There definitely are minyanim in the city that will read it before Hanetzach Hama, which this year is actually quite late, being that it's right after the time change. I think Nate's that day is something around 7:38 or something like that, because it's really right after we change the clock. Which will mean that many of the early minyanim will be reading it before Nates, but their rabbis certainly know what they have to rely on. Let's begin with talking about the history of reading the Megillah in terms of reading it before the actual 14th of Adar. So if you look at the first Mishnah in Megillah, which many of you are probably familiar with, it tells us that Megillah nikrait ba'chadasar, b'shneimasar, b'shashasar, b'abasar, b'chamishasar, lo pachot v'lo yoter. And then it tells you that the walled cities read on the 15th, Kfarim Va'erot Gdolot, the villages and the large towns read on the 14th, Ela Sheha Kfarim Makdimin Leyom Maknisa, except that the villages move up to the day which they enter, or the day which they gather, and that is why the Megillah can technically be read, says the first part of the Mishnah, which we go back to, on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th. The 15th is read again, walled cities, 14th, unwalled cities, 13th, 12th, and 11th. Well, those can happen depending on the various schedulings of Purim. The assumption was in those days that the villagers would enter the main cities on Mondays and Thursdays. Therefore, if Purim was on a Monday or a Thursday, the villagers read on the 14th. Purim, again, meaning the 14th, as far as our conversation is going. If the 14th fell out on Tuesday or Friday, the villagers would read when? Well, when they came in on Monday or Thursday, which would be the 13th. If Purim fell out on a Wednesday, the villagers would read 2 days before, on the 12th. And finally, if the 14th fell out on a Sunday, the villagers would go all the way back to Thursday, which would be 3 days before, which would make them read on the 11th. So that's how we get 11, 12, 13, 14. Now, what's important to note is that the Gemara in Megillah, in source number 2 that we have in front of us, asks, what's the source that you can read the Megillah on the 11th? And then we're like, well, I mean, what do you mean? This is just like a ruling that the rabbis made that, you know, to make it easier for the villages. What do you mean, what's the source? And the Gemara explains that based on the rule that one Beit Din cannot uproot what a previous Beit Din has established unless they are greater in knowledge and numbers, and who established Purim, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. So, says the Gemara, there's no way a subsequent Beit Din would have been able to say, even though the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said you can only read the Megillah on the 14th and 15th, now that we have this pressing situation, we can read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. There's no Beit Din would have been able to say that. Who could say that they're greater in number and in knowledge than the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? Therefore, for that reason, says the Gemara, it must be that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah themselves allowed for the Megillah to be read as part of their initial establishment of the Megillah reading on Purim, even on days 11, 12, and 13, in addition to 14 and 15. And says the Gemara, that's what we meant when we asked you for a source, meaning, if they did it, it's most likely that they hinted to it somewhere in the Megillah, text of the Megillah itself. And in fact, the Gemara in Megillah, Beis Amud Aleph, is almost entirely devoted to finding hints in the Megillah to say, okay, it can be read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, and it can't be read on the 16th, and it can't be read on the 10th. And that's really what the entire first page shows us. So that being the case, we already are starting to see the seeds of potentially being allowed to read the Megillah under some circumstances on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Mm-hmm. Even though, yes, in the Mishnah itself, we see it's limited to a case of villages that would enter on those days. Nevertheless, from the fact that the Gemara goes to such great lengths to show us that this was part of the original establishment of the reading of the Megillah, that technically speaking, the Megillah may be read on 11, 12, 13, and 14, and 15, meaning the first three especially, that's something that we should keep in mind when we're going to think about how early we may read the Megillah before Purim. Now, the problem is we run into a little bit of trouble about this. First of all, the Gemara has some discussion about this as to exactly when this rule applies, at what period of Jewish history. Is there a Beis HaMikdash? Is there not a Beis HaMikdash? And we'll see that codified in the Rambam as source number 4. But source number 3 is also very important, because it's a Mishnah, and it's a Mishnah not long after we read the first Mishnah in Megillah. Mishnah 3 in Maseches Megillah tells us, and this, ironically, is source number 3 on the source sheet, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im Asai. When is this so that the Megillah can be read on 11, 12, and 13? Mikom shenichnasin b'sheni uvchamishi. In a place where they enter the main city on the Mondays and Thursdays. Aval mikom shenichnasin lo b'sheni v'lo b'chamishi, ein korinota ela bizmanaisis. However, if it's places where people do not enter / gather on Mondays and Thursdays in the main cities, and again, what exactly were they doing in the main cities? Did they need access to a Megillah? Did they need access to a Balkore? Whatever the case may have been, the point is that was permitted to them to do so because they would be unable to land it on their own in the villages. And he says, however, if you have a circumstance where the villagers do not specifically enter on Monday and Thursday, well then, he says, you only read the Megillah when? On the 14th and or 15th. So that's severely going to limit, you know, the applicability of 11, 12, 13 for some people like us. If we're not in a circumstance where these people enter on those days, can't read the Megillah. So too, as we mentioned before, the Rambam rules the following. He says, "Bamed varim amurim shemaktimim vekorim beyom haknisa." When do these words apply that we make Purim earlier and we allow certain people to read on the day of entry? Bizman sheyesh lahem liYisrael malchut. Only when the Jewish people have a monarchy, then they rule over themselves. Aval bazman hazeh, says the Rambam. Nowadays, ein korinota ela bizmana. This is in addition to Rabbi Yehuda's point. The Rambam is based on a different Gemara, which I didn't want to bring the entire discussion there, but the point that comes out is that this rule is no longer applicable, and even if we were in a time when it would be applicable, it would only be applicable in places that actually come in on Mondays and Thursdays, which we don't seem to have. And he says, therefore, Bnei Akfarim uvnei Ayarot korin biyodaled, the residents of the villages and the cities read on the 14th, uvnei krachin korin b'tetvav, and the residents of the walled cities will read on the 15th. So at this point, what is it looking like for us? On the one hand, we seem to have a source that allows, technically speaking, that within the original establishment of the reading of the Megillah, one can read as early as 11, 12, 13, 4, 12, 13. On the other hand, it seems that that's not really applicable nowadays. Now, what's very interesting is this is not even close to the earliest opinion that we find for when the establishment of the Megillah reading takes place. A very interesting Yerushalmi, which I see some of you have read ahead and are now smiling at me. If you look at the Yerushalmi brings another opinion of the Tanaim, the opinion of Rabbi Natan, which ironically may have been what the Tana of the Mishnah that we have was actually responding to, because Rabbi Natan has brought in a Braita in Yerushalmi Megillah. The Braita says as follows, Tani b'shem Rabbi Natan, it was taught in the name of Rabbi Natan, Kol HaChodesh Kasher LiKriat HaMegillah. The entire month is kosher for reading the Megillah. Matama asked the Gemara, what's the reason for that? How could he possibly allow you to read on Rosh Chodesh Adar for the Purim Megillah? He says, no, if you look at the Megillah itself, it refers to V'HaChodesh Asher Nehpach Lahem Yagon L'Simcha. And although it's a bit of a stretch to see how exactly that's defining the time of Megillah reading, nevertheless, it can be done. And Rabbi Nassan says, the fact that the Megillah says this month, which was turned again from anguish to happiness, that shows us that you can actually read the Megillah any time during the month of Adar, and that was the original takana of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, to say it can be read any time during the month. However, the Gemara limits this. Amar Bichalba uvilvad ad chamisha asar. However, it can only be read until the 15th, meaning the entire month doesn't mean literally after Purim as well, but rather before Purim, any time during the month of Adar, because this was the month, Adar again obviously playing a great role in it, meaning that the lottery landed on that 12th month of Adar. So therefore, the conclusion of the Yerushalmi within the opinion of Rabbi Natan, who is a Tana is to say that one can read the Megillah as early as the first day of Adar. Now, I haven't seen anybody discuss what would be the halacha if it's if there are two Adars that year. Can you land it even on the first Adar? Probably because we don't follow this, but as we'll see, it does actually have some relevance to halacha. Nevertheless, this is his opinion, and as some have pointed out, that would be a very interesting response to what the Mishnah is saying, lo pachot velo yoter. Because again, if we have a number of different Tanaim, one of them is Rabbi Natan, one of them is the Tana of our Mishnah, that's why he's saying, you can read it up to the 11th, but no earlier and no later. The lo yoter being, of course, the opinion of Rabbi Chalbo in the Talmud Yerushalmi, saying you can't pass the 15th. What is interesting is that there is a record of such a custom, I believe it was in Israel, recorded in Masechet Sofrim, which is an interesting document in and of itself. You know, but we're dealing with something that's at least, you know, cited even 1,200 years ago or so. So this is pretty old. And this is the custom that it brings, a very interesting custom, to show you that we may not actually be referring to a literal reading of the Megillah for the sake of being Yotzei Mikra Megillah, but there was another custom that is noted here. Says Masechet Sofrim, and we'll read the English here. The people had the custom to say it on the Motzei Shabbatot in Adar until the 15th of Adar passed. How would they read it? On the first Motzei Shabbat of Adar, the people would read together until Balayla Hahu, right, which is about halfway through the Megillah. And on the second Motzei Shabbat, they would read from Balayla Hahu until the end, V'dover Shalom L'chol Saro. So there was a custom, again, in certain communities, that they would, in fact, read the Megillah split up over the first two Motzei Shabbatot of Adar. And that way, you would have read the Megillah before Purim. Does this remind anybody of another holiday? Anything about this whole discussion? What we're starting to see, interestingly, are some parallels to Pesach. I don't know if people have been paying attention, and it will become more and more clear as we go on throughout this year. But, number one, this idea of reading a text that we're going to recite the Shabbatot before, which is what we do with the Haggadah. Some have the custom to read the Haggadah on the Shabbos before Pesach, on Shabbat Haggadol. Also interesting is, as we'll see, not only do we discuss the earliness of the reading of the Megillah being from the beginning of the month, but during the Seder, right, we recite a certain portion of the Haggadah. What does it say? Yachol Meir Rosh Chodesh, Tamud Lamar Bayom Hahu. One might think that you can even do this from Rosh Chodesh. No, it's got to be that day. And we'll, in fact, continue, keep this in mind as we go through the rest of this year to talk about some of the other elements of reading Megillah early. But there, it's interesting, some of the commentaries do make this connection more, the modern commentaries say, hey, you know, we are starting to see something that's a little bit similar to Pesach, not because of any particular Pesach-Purim connection, but just because all of those have reasons as to why we would or wouldn't, you know, do those practices. Either way, until now we thought this was a very theoretical discussion. You're saying, Ezer, you know, we've got no villages. We don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Natan of the Talmud Yerushalmi, and that's true. That's all true. However, take a look at Shulchan Aruch, which brings it actually to be somewhat more relevant, not so much for us, but what would have been relevant even a couple of hundred years ago, a few hundred years ago. Says Shulchan Aruch in source number 7, 688-7, Hamfaresh Bayam v'hayotzei b'shayara. If someone is sailing at sea or leaving some sort of caravan, meaning they're going away on a long trip, and they can't find a Megillah to bring with them. And guess when they're leaving? The 13th of Adar, the 14th of Adar. Well, hopefully, if it's on the 14th, they don't really have an issue. They've already been able to read Megillah. But if they're leaving on the 13th, the 12th, the 11th, what's going to happen? So he says, Yikra'ena bishlosha asar, o bishneimasar, o ba'achadasar, belo bracha. Says Shulchan Aruch, you should read it on one of those days without a bracha. And let's say you can't wait till the 11th. The business trip, you have to leave on the 8th of Adar and you're not going to be getting back till the 17th. What do you do then? Says Shulchan Aruch, look at this, unbelievable. Yesh omrim shekorei afilu mitchilat ha-chodesh. Like the opinion of Rabbi Natan. Says some people say you would even read the Megillah from the beginning of Adar if you had such a circumstance. Meaning you're not going to be making a bracha. We're not willing to rely on this as a sort of lechatzila option. But he says, listen, if you've got no other choice, better at least to be yotzei the shitos of these rabbis as opposed to say, you know what, forget about it. Meaning, if someone was leaving, let's say, on a three-week business trip before Adar started, what would Shulchan Aruch say to do? Nothing. Too bad, you missed your chance. But being that we have an opinion which says you can technically be yotzei the reading of the Megillah as established by the rabbis, during this entire time frame, whether that be 11, 12, 13, or even from the beginning of the month, says Shulchan Aruch, that's best to do. It's almost like a bit of a chumrah. And listen to what the Rama says. The Rama actually says this is very interesting. We'll read, says Rama, Haga behachi nahug. And that is the custom. The Torah Tamima, actually, in his commentary on the Megillah, he says, who ever heard of such a thing? I mean, this is something that can't happen all that often. He says, how can you establish a custom that people read from the beginning of the month? He says, that's very bizarre. But nevertheless, says the Rama, yes, we essentially follow the opinion that says, if you are unable to have a Megillah on Purim itself, one can read even from Rosh Chodesh Adar all the way through to the day, you know, till whenever they leave. They can read the Megillah then, and technically maybe they've been Yotzei, so it's best to do that, to read without a bracha. However, notes the Rama, which is something that we should have thought to be obvious, but the Rama notes it anyways. Umihu, however, im nizdamein lo achar kach Megillah, chozer v'korei otam b'yom yudalid, afilu karat chila b'yom yudgimel, says the Rama, if, however, you got a Megillah afterwards, meaning you thought you were going to an island where there were no Jews for Purim, and you left, let's say, on the 12th, so you read the Megillah on the 11th, and now you get to your island on the 14th, and hey, there's a Jewish community there, and they have a Megillah, says Rama, certainly you're going to be reading it again. Now, he doesn't say explicitly whether or not it's with a bracha. The simple assumption is that it is with a bracha. Meaning, on the one hand, you could make the argument that it's without a bracha, because maybe you've already been Yotzei, so you might not want to make a bracha on it. On the other hand, practically speaking, it would be almost impossible to end up somewhere for Purim where there is a Megillah and you be the only one who has to hear it. Nevertheless, he says, since you read it at the wrong time, you should reread it on the 14th. So there would be two ways of looking at this. I presented this one way. I presented this in saying, really we're upholding the original establishment of the Chachamim, of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, to read it at this time, and therefore one might think I read it without a bracha if I have to reread it on the 14th, and that I'm doing something positive by doing this. Aruch HaShulchan, however, takes a somewhat surprising, very extreme view in the other direction. Listen to what he says. He writes, and this is on this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, although Aruch HaShulchan doesn't actually, you know, have a commentary that's on the words of the Shulchan Aruch, he incorporates the Shulchan Aruch's views in his own book. And he writes the following. He says, Shezehu rak l'zecher ba'alma, this is only as a remembrance of the mitzvah of reading Megillah. V'yesh mi she'omer d'tzarich asara k'din shelo bizmanah d'tzarich asara. There is an opinion, and it's a totally different discussion, which I'm not going to get into right now, as to whether reciting the blessings, if it's not being read at its technical correct time, requires 10 people or not, requires a minion in order to make the blessing. And he quotes an opinion that applies that here, and he says, "Velo avin, I don't understand." Kevan shehu belo bracha ina ela kelimud ba'alma. He says, "One second, if it's without a bracha, it's just like learning." Vare ena mitakanat chachamim klal. He says, "This has nothing to do with what the sages set up for reading Megillah. This is just a nice thing to do to learn the Megillah before you go away, so you don't feel like you missed Purim this year." But is there any fulfillment of any enactment here? Of course not, says the Aruch HaShulchan. And he says, "What's my proof?" And therefore they'll say, if it's impossible to wait until the days of 11, 12, 13, etc., yachal likra afilu me'rosh chodesh lezikaron ba'alma. He's saying, because what's my proof? Look, there's even an opinion that says you can read it from Rosh Chodesh. Nobody would ever assume that the takanat chachamim was ever to actually read it from Rosh Chodesh. Now again, I don't know what he does with the Yerushalmi, but the simple read of the Shulchan Aruch is quite clear. Nevertheless, he says, why do you have to read it with a bracha on the 14th if you get it again after you read it, let's say, on the 12th? He says, that which we read before is meaningless. There is absolutely, he says, this is a nice thing to do. You know, poor guy is going to miss Purim. He's not going to get any Mishloach Manos. So at the very least, in order to remember that there's this thing called Purim, so you should read the Megillah beforehand. He says, but this is not serious. Come on, says Aruch HaShulchan. And therefore, that's his view of this entire discussion. We will get back to his view, and we will get back to this discussion, actually in a different discussion, which is, how early may one read the Megillah on Purim itself? Before that, I just wanted to add, there is a possibility, one might have thought that you can read the Megillah even earlier. What day might that have been? Do you know of any view that you could think of, that you could conceive of? That would allow you to read the Megillah earlier even than Rosh Chodesh Adar? Let's say you had a leap year. and you accidentally read the Megillah on the first Adar, on the 14th of Adar, do you think you'd be Yotzei then?
Yes,
you could think about it. You could think about it. The halacha is your non-Yotzei.
Right? It is the 13th month at that point. Maybe
right.
In consideration.
So the halacha is obviously yes, that we do read the Megillah only in the second Adar. And in fact, the halacha also is very, very clear that if accidentally the Megillah was read in the first Adar, you do need to read it again during the second Adar, also with the Dalet Parshiot. It just doesn't have status at the end of the day. But again, that would have been something we might have thought would have been an even earlier date where someone could ostensibly be Yotzei the Megillah. It turns out that you can't. Yes?
And if on the second Adar, they're not able to read the Megillah, but they had read it on the 14th of the first Adar?
I don't believe you'd be Yotzei. I would think that would be akin to these cases that we talked about, Yotzei B'Shayara. You can read it as early as that date. It's an interesting question, though. I didn't look much into that because I figured it's pretty open and closed, but maybe worth doing a little bit more research into on my part. But excellent question. So now we get to the fun part, which is, fine, so we've solved the discussion of how early before Purim may one potentially read the Megillah. Again, under these extreme circumstances, one opinion says you read it on 11, 12, 13, or even from the beginning of the month for the sake of fulfilling at least one opinion of to when reading the Megillah was established. The other opinion, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, you're reading it almost for fun. What about on the night of Purim itself? Especially, you know, after the clock change now, what time are we going to be reading Megillah? Megillah reading can be pretty late at night.
When did we change the clock?
We changed the clock right before Purim this year. This is a Saturday night right before Purim. So the question arises, how early can I read the Megillah? For example, up at the Bayit, they have a Klag Minyan on a regular day, which means that they'll have Mincha before Klag HaMincha, that time, which is, you know, what ends up being over the course of the entire summer months, an hour to an hour and a half real time, maybe even a little bit longer before Plag. It's an hour and a quarter, I believe, in terms of halachic hours beforehand. And what they do is they daven mincha before that time, and they daven marav after that time. There's a special heter, which we'll touch on a teensy bit, that you can view Plag HaMincha as your cutoff point for mincha, and then you would be allowed to daven marav after that point, even though it's really still daylight outside. I mean, that's something they'll do on a daily basis at the Bayit. They have a minyan like that. They have a minyan at many other shuls as well, both across North America as well as across the city. I've been to, for example, the Plag Minyan, I believe, at Shari Tefillah. I've been to a Plag Minyan at the Sephardi Kila Center. It's not unique to the Bayit. Many shuls do this. And it relies on a particular area of halacha, which relates to Mariv and reading the Shema. And that would be permitted from this earlier time, maybe, possibly, according to different opinions. Certainly we say you should repeat the Shema afterwards. But it may be a time that you can technically daven marav, and therefore many shuls do this because it's very late to wait. Sometimes shkia, you know, during the year can get extremely late from when you have mincha marav at 9 o'clock at night. It's a little bit funny. Nevertheless, the question is, can I read the Megillah from that point and on? Can I read the Megillah at shkia time, or do I have to wait till Tzedak Kochavim, till after that, maybe close to the time of Moshe Shabbos? Then you're really dealing with something really late. And, you know, you have lots of kids that want to stay up to hear the Megillah, and people are fasting oftentimes on Ta'anit Esther up until that point, and you're not even allowed to eat food before you hear the Megillah. Again, under certain circumstances, you can see those halachos, or ask your rabbi as to what exactly one may eat when before they've heard the Megillah. So what do you do? Take a look at Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says something very bold. And he writes, Mishu anus k'tzat ve'no yachol lelech lebeit ha'kneset. He says, let's say someone is in a situation of slight onus. I left that as is. I'm not defining exactly what that means, but you know, there would be different opinions as to when you pass the threshold of slight onus. Ve'no yachol lelech lebeit ha'kneset, and they can't go to shul. Meaning, this is someone who's at home, unable to leave the house, and therefore they can't go to hear the main Megillah reading in shul. And therefore, in order for someone to come read Megillah for them, they will, v'tzarich lehamtin adachar shekar'u ha'kahal. They will need to wait for their regular balkorei to go to shul with everybody else, hear the Megillah there, and only then can a balkorei come to their house and be motzi them with the Megillah, assuming that that was either the common practice or mandated by halacha. It doesn't really matter. The point is, all the Balei Kriya were first going to the public reading, and then they would be able to go to this sick person's house, this home-ridden person's house. So what do? He says, V'kasheh alav leishev b'tanit kol kach. He says, my gosh, you're going to be fasting for a long time. You have to wait not only till the first Megillah reading, but you have to wait for the Balkorei to do that. Then the Balkorei is probably going to go home, have a little snack, because he's been fasting the whole day. Then he's going to come to you. This poor guy's lying in bed, This is terrible. So therefore, it says Shulchan Aruch, we have a solution. He says, it's fine, then you can hear the reading from during the day, from the time of Plaga Mincha and on. As people ask, the Poskim write that it is better for the Baal Korei to have in mind not to be Yotze during that reading, meaning this reading is a special circumstance for someone who can't make it out to shul. Therefore, the Baal Korei should read for them, say, you are being Yotze the Megillah, not me, and 100% that works, they can be Yotze the Megillah. And therefore, then afterwards, the Baal Korei can go home, get ready for Megillah, and then go out to hear the public Megillah, and this person will be able to eat as soon as the fast is over. All clear? So, the question is, how does this work? So, I mean, you can see the Mishneh Berurah here. I'm going to jump to the Aruch HaShulchan for the sake of time. We don't have that much time left. The Aruch HaShulchan cites the Pri Chadash, who has two major objections to the Shulchan Aruch on these grounds. Now, Shulchan Aruch's logic was based on earlier sources. It was based on a Trumas Adeshin, it was based on a Ravid, and others. And you can actually see an interesting responsum on this topic from Rabbi Yehuda Amital about soldiers as to what time they may read the Megillah, depending on what they have to do, if they won't have the opportunity to read Megillah later. And he talks about the background discussion relating to davening Maariv. But it's not quite clear that you can, A, easily equate Maariv, davening Maariv after Plaga Mincha, and reading the Megillah for two reasons. Can anybody think of a particular reason as to why you might not be allowed to equate them here? So the first question is, does Plaga Mincha make it night, or does it just allow you to daven Maariv?
Just allows you to daven Maariv.
It seems to just allow you to daven Maariv. If that's the case, would there be any reason why we might need to wait until night in order to read the Megillah? So it turns out that there is. The Pri Chadash notes the Gemara. The Gemara, although the exact reason behind the night reading is one that is clouded in mystery, and I will invite you to explore it with me. I believe it's next Sunday now at our pre-Purim Learnathon up at B'nai Torah. That's my topic there, is the history of the night reading of the Megillah, when it comes about, how it comes about. Nevertheless, the Gemara does bring a source for it, from the pasuk velayla velo dumiyali, from a pasuk that explicitly mentions night, that just as they would cry out during the day in the mizmor in Tehillim that's associated with the story of Purim, lamazecha layel tashachar, it says velayla velo dumiyali, there was crying even at night. So based on that, the Pri Chadash asks the following question. You can see it cited in Aruch HaShulchan in source number 12. V'dimuzel itfilat arvit, he says, they compared it, meaning Shulchan Aruch, and the sources that he was relying on compared it to Maariv. Dechashvinan laila miplaga mincha, for that, we consider it night from plaga mincha. Aval hu tamua, he says, it's bewildering. Dema inyan zel hazeh, how can you compare them to each other? Dehatam talui bekorbanot, there it depends on the korbanot that were brought. And you could bring the korban mincha up to a certain, the korban tamit shel ben harabayim, which corresponds to mincha, up until a certain point. And then you could potentially go on to daven Maariv, he says, right? Aval hacha dikriyat halayla lemeidin min vilayla velo dumiali, pshita deadseta kochavim lo have layla, says the Pri Chadash. I don't understand. If we learn it out from a pasuk of Laila, saying just as they called out at night, so too we read the Megillah at night, then you need real night, not fake night. Plaga Mincha is fake night. We need real night. We need to wait until Tzeis. But there's another objection that you could raise. What should be the other objection? Says the Aruch HaShulchan again, citing the Pri Chadash. Ubevaray tamuahu levaze. He says, but even without that, he says, forgetting about the requirement for Laila, you've got a bigger issue here. Deharadayin eino yom yudalid. Just think about it. It's true that you might be able to consider it night at that point, but that certainly doesn't change the date. That won't change the calendar. And therefore, you're going to end up reading Megillah on which day? 13th. The 13th. And he says, V'gam agra, Sifkat and Yodhiskim Pri Chadash says, the Gra agrees with this. And look at what he writes about this custom. U'miyameinu lo shamanu misha yasekein. He says, we have never heard of anybody doing this. He says, this is ridiculous. There is no heter to do such a thing. And because for these two reasons. Number one, it's not night, but even more so, it's not even the 14th yet. Now, just to take a look within the Aruch HaShulchan, and then we'll get back to some of the other sources.
You're paraphrasing him, saying there's no heter to do that. There is a heter, it's the Shulchan Aruch.
Yes, and he says, we don't agree with that for two reasons. He's pretty clear. I mean, he says for two reasons that we don't agree with it, and the Pri Chadash rules explicitly, who he cites, that the Megillah may not be read until Tzeit HaKochavim. I think it's pretty straightforward. again, this is him saying there's no heter to do so from a practical perspective. Yes, obviously the Shulchan Aruch did write it and is based on many other sources, and we're going to explore that heter now. I'm just bringing this up as the first opinion to read, because as we're going to see, it works out quite nicely with our previous discussion. Notes Aruch HaShulchan, however, in the next source, in source 13, outside that due to his recent Machtimin L'mitzvot, you should read it as soon as possible after Tzeit. Note as well, he says, if you read it after Shkia before Tzeit, he says he thinks that you're Yotzei, and therefore he says you would not need to read it again. There are others that hold you would need to read it again, even if you read it after Shkia before Tzeit HaKochavim. Now, however, there are those who actually step up to not only uphold the Shulchan Aruch, but defend the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berura seems to have a partial defense of Shulchan Aruch back in source number 11, which we didn't read. He also references the Sha'arei Tshuva. Sha'arei Tshuva here writes the following, citing from the Birkei Yosef. And really, again, we said we had our two issues from the Pri Chadash. Issue number one, which we weren't willing to take so far, was the fact that it's considered night, and that if we're in fact learning out the night reading from this pasuk of Alayla Velo Dumiali, which requires really a lot more discussion, we can't get into here, but if we're actually assuming that's the case, then there's a question about night. But what was the Aruch HaShulchan's bigger issue? He says, Levad Zeh Temu, the fact that it's the 13th. So take a look at the Sha'arei Tshuva in source number 14. He writes, Ubibirkei Yosef, and this was cited by the Mishnah Berurah and others, Ubibirkei Yosef hevi b'shem ha-Me'iri. The Birkei Yosef, which is Zechida, he brings in the name of the Me'iri. He says, if you look at the Me'iri on the Gemara and on the Mishnahs, which we discussed earlier, Gabei Zman B'nei HaKfarim, in about the time of the villagers, when they could read Megillah, Shekatav, he wrote the following, U'mikan Samchu Gidolei HaMefarshim. And from here, the Gidolei HaMefarshim relied, which is refers to the Ra'avad, Lecholot ve'yoldot she'ein tzrichim kol kach le'ha'ariv ve'rasha'in le'maher kriyatan mi'bod yom ve'afshu adayin bitchum yud gimel. Explains the Me'iri, it's true that, yes, when you look at Shulchan Aruch, when you look at the Beit Yosef, he's just making the comparison between davening Maariv and reading the Megillah. But he says, Meir, what's the real reliance that's going on here? He says, really, the reason why these people were Mekel is not just because you can compare it to Maariv, but actually because, technically speaking, you can read the Megillah on the 13th. And he says, that is what we're relying on for an ill person or for a woman who's just given birth. That's the source of the heter, and therefore now everything makes sense. Those who are willing, like Shulchan Aruch, to give some value to the reading of 11, 12, 13, will say in extenuating circumstances, yes, we'll allow you even to read it at the end of the 13th in conjunction with this Plag HaMincha Heter. However, for the Aruch HaShulchan, who says there's no way anybody would assume that it has any validity whatsoever, and even on the 13th, says Aruch HaShulchan, you didn't do anything, so it makes sense to the Aruch HaShulchan saying no one can rely on this, because he says, yes, it is the 13th, you can't read on the 13th. So that's really how we end up here. Again, in terms of practical psak, you know, there is various different chitos on the matter, and one should seek guidance from thereof. However, there is, we'll finish with this in our last 30 seconds here, to note the Bir Halacha at the end is willing to be fairly makel, and he cites the earlier authority saying, V'efshar b'makom she'adchak gadol, he says, even it's possible that even in a circumstance where the pressure is great, af v'tzibur yesh la'akel likro, he says there may even be permission to do this for a public reading, and there are definitely minyanim in the city of Toronto that do this. Again, I don't know which shuls do this, but there are certain circumstances that may allow for one to even rely on this on a larger scale, depending on it. And again, that goes with the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah sort of approach to say that this was part of the original Takanat Chachamim, and it's possible you may be yotzei the Megillah then, and that allows you to do it at that time. Thank you.
Wonderful.